through 10, sorry. Luke chapter 17, verses 5 through 10. You may find it on page 80 of the pew hymnals. The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." But the Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later, you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" Let us pray. Gracious God, sometimes we forget that when we give our lives to you, that we are your servants. Sometimes we want to be uplifted and be the ones who receive the praise. But Lord, when we serve you, all honor and glory are given to you. Lord, I pray that as I bring forth the message this morning, that it truly is your message. And may each of our hearts and minds be opened to hear how you speak to us. In your name we pray. Amen. 2 Timothy provides a window for us. It provides a window through which we can catch a glimpse of the evolution of tradition. And yet it shows us the struggle that we have to safeguard and pass the faith from generation to generation. As Paul writes to Timothy, he is writing to him because the church is in trouble. Paul's writing to Timothy, trying to encourage him because he's concerned about the welfare of the churches. He wants to encourage Timothy to be strong and to guard the gospel, as we heard most explicitly in verse 8 of this letter. "Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God." We continue to read in Timothy. We would hear in chapter 3 where Paul says, "Continue in what you have learned and what you are convinced of, to preach it." And he says that again in chapter 4, "Preach the word, and if necessary, to suffer for it." See, Paul was not ashamed of his relationship with the Lord, and he was willing to do whatever he could to share that gospel with all people. Think about where Paul is in this moment that he is writing this letter to Timothy. He's in prison, and the reason he is there is because of his faith. My friends, you and I would probably never be imprisoned for witnessing for our faith. But we also need to remember that sometimes witnessing in our faith, standing strong in the word of the Lord, is no picnic either. And that is often the reason that many fall away. Even many, as we hear in the Word of God, of those who fell away, those who ministered with Paul. So Paul is doing all that he can to encourage those who still have the faith. And is he encouraging Timothy in this letter to remain faithful, reminding Timothy of the faith of his mother and of his grandmother? He's telling us this is the third generation of those who are sharing the good news of God the Father, of Christ his Son, and of the Holy Spirit. But he is also reminding Timothy that the situation he is in is a situation of desperation, because this might be the last generation of Christians. The only way that that's going to change is that those few faithful Christians, Christ followers, have to be strong enough, have to have faith enough to be willing to do what God is calling them to do, to share that gospel. My friends, you and I are now in the fourth generation of unchurched people. I once listened to a pastor, a United Methodist pastor, whose name was Thomas Young. I don't know if any of you know him. But he was telling us about a church in Virginia. This church filled an entire city block. Think about that. Think about the size of Wesley and how big it is. But think about the fact if it would fill the entire city block. It was a church, the largest church, in fact, in Virginia. Not just in the town it was in, but in Virginia. It had thousands of members. It had a variety of programs. That church closed a few years ago because it was worshiping with 13 members. We don't have to go far. We don't have to go to Virginia to see that the church is shrinking. We don't have to go far to see that the church is in a desperate situation. We don't have to go far to see that there are no longer generations of people worshiping in our churches. But many of the people who are here are voicing their opinion of, will the next generation have faith? Will our children and our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren have faith? You know, there was a time that you could depend on the fact of generations would continue to carry on the church in a building. That's no longer the case. People are having less children. Our children are growing up and going to college and often moving away. And oftentimes where we lose that generation of people is when they go to college. For some reason, we tend to forget that they still need to be nurtured and cared for. But the question for us now has not become just strictly for our own families. But the question has become, how do we bring the good news to our generation, to our children's generation, to our grandchildren's generation, to our great-grandchildren's generation? so that they can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And when they know what it means to have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, they're going to seek a church. Maybe it's not this church, but we're about building the kingdom of God. But we live in a time right now where people are not seeking Jesus Christ. Is it because they do not know him? They do not know about him? Now, there are some of us who have children in the church, faithful children. So we may not see that immediate need, but we need to expand our thinking of all those who are in our community, in our world, who do not know Jesus. So where is it that we begin? Well, I think we need to begin in prayer, because I think prayer is foundational to everything we do, because prayer is what allows us to communicate with our Savior, communicate with our Creator. And so we need to be in prayer to see where it is that God is calling us to. That needs to be the foundation on which we stand so that we can hear the voice of God. The disciples who were with Jesus every single day said to Jesus, "Increase our faith." Jesus says, you only need to have faith the size of a mustard seed, and you would be able to say to this mulberry bush, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Not because of who the disciples were, but because of who Christ was. The same holds true for you and me. We only need to have faith the size of a mustard seed. But the question is, where is our faith? Is our faith in Jesus Christ? Or do we put our faith in ourselves and in the things of this world? Today is World Communion Sunday. We are celebrating with our brothers and sisters throughout the world. You and I are just a very small part of this big world that we live in. We're just a very small cell in this large body called the church. But we are united together through the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. So today we recall, as members of one body, that we can make a difference in the lives of people when we bring them the hope of the world, when we show them the love of the Savior. That difference happens when we behave like disciples of Jesus Christ. I hate to say it, but you know what? Even adults are bullies. And there are those who have this mindset of what it is that they want without opening their hearts and their minds to Jesus, and so they bully others into getting their own way. But the only way that the kingdom of God is going to grow and people are going to know that love and that hope of Jesus Christ is when we do what God calls us to do, when we put our faith in him. We're all United Methodist, right? Do we all think alike? Of course not. We're all different. But we all have the same foundation. We all stand on the Word of God. We all have one Savior. That Savior is the second part of the Trinity: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So may we be reminded of the words that we heard in Timothy this morning, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind, to never be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. The one who has saved us, the one who has called us for his purpose and grace, which was given to each of us before time began. So as we come this morning to receive the body and the blood of Christ, may we remember not only what he has done for us, but what he continues to do for us. And may we remember that all we need to have is the faith of a mustard seed to do what he calls us to do. And if we truly belong to him, heart, mind, soul, and strength, we're going to say, Lord, how is it that I can be your servant? How is it that I can serve you in this world? What is it that you have for me to do? And when we do that with open hearts and open minds, we can do amazing things. The vision team met this week. We are truly working to what God's vision is for us. The papers are hung in the parlor room. I do ask that you go there and you pray over them. You may not understand them, but God understands them. We're going to meet again on the 17th. I encourage you all to come out to be a part of this process of seeing where it is that God is calling us as his church, as Wesley United Methodist Church, of who it is that he wants us to be and how it is that he wants us to serve him here in Tyrone. All we need is faith of a mustard seed. And if we have that faith, when God's vision is revealed to us, we will make a difference in people's lives and in the community of Tyrone. May our faith be strong, but remember, it only needs to be the size of a mustard seed, but our faith has to be in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.